me to repent. Lord, let your kindness, let it lead me to repent. Lord, let your kindness, let it lead. Well, good morning. It is my honour and privilege to be sharing God's word with you today. Pastor Luke and Priscilla and their family are enjoying a week's holiday and rest together. And Pastor Peter and Sandra, Peter's ministering at another church with one of the pastors he's been walking closely with, fellowshipping with for some years. And it's just as well that Luke and Priscilla changed their minds as to actually going away for the week, because to their utter surprise, Wesley arrived in Australia on Wednesday, I think it was. Yeah, and Tammy was the only one that knew. And, you know, they were having a meal one night, and when he arrived, and he said, "Oh, is there room for one more?" And Sandra, you know, said yes, and then turned around and was a little bit shocked. So they're really enjoying a wonderful time together. But it's my privilege to be sharing the Word of God with you. I'd just like to open in prayer. Father God, I just thank you for this honour and privilege to be sharing your Word today. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit will help me to share it, Lord, it's the way that you'd want me to, that we would gain understanding, Lord. And even as we were singing that song today, Lord, that we want to be more like you. That's our desire, Lord, is to be more like you, to reflect your love, your kindness, your forgiveness. May you shine brighter through us in a greater and greater way as we continue on in our journey. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'll be sharing from the Gospel of John today, and I'll be sharing a part of my testimony, and also I'll be sharing some of those in our Connect group. I had the privilege of listening to some of their stories week before last, and I was really touched by what I heard. So in the Gospel of John is written by one of the disciples of Jesus. It's in the Bible described as the disciple he loved. I mean, not that he loved one any more than another. And John was the one that leaned on his shoulder at the Last Supper. So he's the one that wrote the Gospel of John. And he talks about in the beginning, he talks at the start of the gospel, he talks about, he introduces John the Baptist in there. Anyway, in verse 1 of chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, it talks about a beginning. It's almost similar to the way the very first verse in Genesis starts. He says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens, the earth and the heavens." You know, in the beginning, there was a beginning. You know, there's a beginning. And God must have been there before the beginning because he created it. So what he was doing, I don't know, but he's eternal. And one day this earth will go, but we'll have a new one. But there's a beginning. Something began. And it mentions the word three times in that very first verse. In the next verse 2, it says, "He was in the beginning." So the word is now he. He was with God. This he John the Baptist tells us a little bit later that he's the Son of God. He also says this is the Lamb of God, the only time in the New Testament that that is mentioned, the Lamb of God. In verse 3, he says, through him, so through the Word, through, we know the Word is Jesus, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Through him all things, everything was made, and without him nothing was made that had been made. So in other words, it's just putting the same thing in a different way. Using two expressions to describe the same thing. Everything we see and everything that has been made was made through him, through Jesus. So at this point, I'd like to share a very important step in my journey. I think it was 1988, early 1988, I was out running one morning in Albany. It was early in the morning, and, you know, the sun was just coming up, and, you know, I just was overcome. I don't know what I'd been reading at the time. I must have been reading something. But I was running, and I just, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I just put my hands in the air as I'm running, and I said, I did not come from a monkey. Please, God, help me to be righteous. So in my heart, I wanted to be righteous. I wanted to do right, to do the right things. This is what was in my heart. But I actually said these words: I did not come from a monkey. So the evolution creation debate has been something that I've spent a lot of time looking into and studying. And so it's something I'm passionate about. And I'm going to read to you, I've put together from what I've studied, tried to simplify. There's so much stuff out there. And if you're really interested, then a good site to go to is creation.com. There is hundreds and hundreds of very, very, very good articles written by creation scientists on all the different subjects. But anyway, I just want to make this point. Some people think that evolution is a fact. I actually attended some years ago a conference in England, a Christian conference, and they had this subject coming up in one of their electives you could go and do, and it had up on the board there, the facts of evolution. Gee, I was so annoyed when I read that. Some people think evolution is a fact. You know, you hear all the time that the Earth is so many, it is, you know, oh, it's so many billions of years old. This has been found and we've, you know, it's 13 billions old, or it's 50,000 years old. You know, it's put across as though it's a fact. So therefore, those who have faith, like us, about creation must be a little crazy. So they've got the facts, but you've got faith and you're crazy. Well, let me say this. Evolution is not a fact. Just in case you're wondering, it is not a fact. When our core beliefs are attacked, it's often easy for humans to retreat to statements such as this: my belief is a fact. My belief is a fact. And yours is wrong. That's exactly why we cannot trust mere human understanding to explain the unobservable past. Emotion and pride get in the way. Evolution is not a fact, no matter how many times evolutionists say it is. It's a framework built on assumptions about the past, assumptions that will never have direct, first-hand, observational proof. And that is taken from Answers in Genesis, one of the 12 arguments evolutionists should avoid. That's just one. They should avoid that argument. I mean, science, evidence-based science, is where you can observe something and you can conduct an experiment and you can get a result. You cannot observe something that happened 5,000 years ago. You can't do it. It's impossible. No one's invented a time machine yet. So we cannot go back and observe and carry out an experiment. So the only way you can come up with a figure on how old it is to use assumptions. Just know that. Remember that. So, reading on. So, not a fact. So then we go into the next point. Some Christians say that it takes more faith to believe in evolution than creation. Have you ever heard anyone say that? But that's not correct either. Not only do we, as Christians, have the Word of God, but we also can see and experience the evidence for creation all around us, from the birds of the air to the fish of the sea. So the next time you hear someone say it takes more faith to believe in evolution than creation, remember that biblical faith is based on the faithfulness of someone or something, specifically the Creator God and His Word. And without that, all you have is blind faith. Blind faith. So what is blind faith? I'm glad you asked. Unlike biblical faith, blind faith has no substance. And there is no evidence or assurance of things not seen. Blind faith is not based on someone or something that is faithful and has revealed itself, and therefore blind faith is not defensible, as it relies on the ever-changing ideas and opinions of mankind, who are their own authority. It is simply a willingness to believe something. A willingness to believe. Evolutionists believe in evolution. You see, Dawkins, he even admitted that evolution is a religion. He admitted it in one of the debates. It's not a fact. It's a willingness to believe something for which there is no revelation or proof at all. Many secularists and even Christians have used the word faith to describe evolution, but a better choice would be to use blind faith. So you and I can take confidence in knowing that we are not fools in believing in God. Yeah, we are called believers. But those who believe in evolution, they believe that. It cannot be proven as a fact. And, you know, this was such an important step in my journey. I must have, you know, I was a believer from the age of 17, and I believed in God. I believed in Jesus, but, you know, I wasn't attending church, so I must have been looking at that. I must have been wavering. But I got to that point, no, I did not come from a monkey, and neither did you. God made me. That's what it says in Revelation. He took from the clay and the dust, and he created the first man. And then it says a little bit later that out of the man's rib, he made the woman. So that's my ancestral line. Your ancestral line goes back to Adam and Eve. Amen? In John verse 4, there is a few key words which come up in the Gospel of John, more so than anywhere else in the Bible. And the Word is one, life is one, light is one, and believed is one. I'm going to be touching on each of those. So in verse 4, we see the word life twice and then the word light. In him, so talking about Jesus, the Word, talking about the Word. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. I've had a look at how many times the word life is mentioned in this gospel. It's 41 times in the Gospel of John. 41 times. So John, the the disciple John is making a point about life. And just one of the verses in the Gospel of John, I've picked out chapter John, verse 5, verse 24, the words of Jesus, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word," this is Jesus talking, "whoever hears Jesus' words and believes him who sent me has eternal life." So how do we have eternal life? Whoever hears and believes. It's not about doing stuff. It's not about, you know, doing everything right. You know, that comes once you know you've been made right. "Very truly, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged but has crossed over from death to life." How important is the word of God in our lives? How important is God's word? It's through his word. Yes, Maria? I know. It's so important, isn't it? Yep, no other way. Yep. How old are you now, Maria? 92? Yeah, tell everybody, yeah. 93 next month. Yeah. She loves her Bible. In John chapter 1, verses 5 to 9, we see the word light coming up four times. "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light," oh, that's five times, "to everyone who was coming into the world. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world." Jesus is the light, and he gives us his light. A scripture from the Gospel of John, to make this clearer. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Whoever, are you a whoever? Does whoever exclude anyone? Whoever is whoever. Anyone. Any colour, any nationality, any person, whoever follows Jesus will never walk in darkness. Isn't that fantastic? To not be in darkness, to know there's a way out of darkness, is to follow Jesus. We have to follow Jesus, and we will never walk in darkness, but we will have the light of life. Are you a believer in here today? Well, you have. Right now, you have the light of life. You've got it. Sometimes we don't, often, we don't recognize it. We just carry on and we're doing our things and we forget. But you go into a room, you go into a place, and you're going in there, and the light of Christ has gone in with you. And others know it, spiritually they know it. We may not be thinking about it at the time, but that's the truth. Moving on in John chapter 1, verses 10 to 12. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So how do you become a child of God? You believe. Everyone who's a believer in this room, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, he is God the Son, that he was crucified on the cross, that he was buried and raised again after 3 days. If you believe that, you become a child of God. Amen. Tells you that in Romans chapter 10. So the word believed is mentioned 23 times in the Gospel of John. In the whole of the Old Testament, the word is mentioned 11 times. In the whole of the Old Testament. In the whole of the New Testament, it's mentioned 70 times, and in most books, once or twice, but 23 times in the Gospel of John and 23 times in the book of Acts. Can I encourage you to have a read of the Gospel of John this week? That's your homework this week. Go back and read through the Gospel of John. Read it. Another very important step in my journey, and I've kind of touched on it just now, but when I was about 17 or 18 and in England, and back in those days, I don't know if it still happens, I think it does in some schools, but the Gideons, if you went to senior high school, you were given a free copy of the Gideon's Bible. You know, a little one like that. I had a small red one. It was red. And it still happens in some places. And who got a free copy of the Gideon's Bible from your school? Oh, yeah, a few of you. Yeah, look at that. And yeah, my mum had sent me off to Sunday school. My mum and dad, there was no Christianity in our home. I didn't have any family upbringing of going to church. I later heard that my father secretly went off to church on Sundays, but my mum was very agonistic towards God. But that's another story. But she sent me to Sunday school, and. Anyway, I was looking at this Bible one day. I was on my own. I don't know where I was. I was in a room on my own, and I was just reading it. And then at the front, it had these words. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that he died? Do you believe that he was raised from the dead? And I just found myself in my own mind saying, yes, yes, yes. It was just me and the Bible, no one else. And there was a prayer. And I prayed the prayer. So as far as I'm concerned, my journey started then. But it was a long, long time before I was attending church on a regular basis. But God's hand was on my life. I know it from that moment. You know, sometimes as Christians, we feel ridiculed for what we believe. But we should take some joy by knowing that an evolutionist also believes by faith, or better described as blind faith. Don't ever feel ridiculed because if someone says, oh, that's stupid. It's not stupid. Okay, moving on. John 1:13. Children born not of natural descent nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. In John 1:14, the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. Jesus was born of a virgin. He became a human. He is 100% God, but he is also 100% a human, a man. The Word became flesh and he made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory and the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So now this is the fourth time the Word is mentioned. The Word, with a capital W. The Word. The Word. God's Word. This Word. The Word is Jesus. The Word was in the beginning. Everything that was made through the Word. And the Word became flesh. The Word is just so important. The Word flesh is life. The Word brings life. It is through the Word. As I said at the beginning, a couple of weeks ago at our last Connect, the subject then was about the Holy Spirit. And anyway, the story that I was sharing from was from the woman at the well in Samaria. And it was about the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. That's right. And, you know, Jesus said to her, go bring your husband. And she said, I don't have a husband. Then he said, no, you've had five husbands and the man you're with now you're not married to. So he had a word. And, you know, she got touched she knew he was the, you know, he impacted her life. She goes back into town. She tells them, they become believers. And then they come out, or he goes in there and he's ministering to them. And the word of God changed their lives. It's the word of God that has changed our life. And I went around the room and I got, you know, quite a few of them to share. And so Kerry Blows didn't grow up in a Christian home. But her brother, at 16 years old, heard the word of God. And he was born again. And he took his 8-year-old sister, Kerry. There you are, Kerry. This is a lovely story, Kerry. He took his 8-year-old sister, Kerry, to church, to Sunday school. And the Sunday school teacher gave Kerry a copy of the Bible. And it's changed her life. You know, Kerry is probably the longest serving person in Sunday school that I know. She was running that program called Little Pebbles on a Friday for nearly 20 years. It's now, I think we still call it Pebbles, don't we? Yeah, that's on a Thursday now. Kerry still works as a volunteer in Sunday school. She's in her mid-70s because the word of God has such an impact. I tell you, when I'm ushering and I go around and I'm counting, and I go up to the children's church and I go in there. Just 2 weeks ago, there's Kerry in Sunday school, you know, being a blessing, bringing the life to those kids in that room. Good on you, Kerry. Yeah, we thank you. Joan, if you want to be encouraged in your faith, talk to Joan. Joan sits at the back there with a, you know, the blue, yeah. Can you stand up, Joan? Yeah, we'll turn around, we're going to look at you. Yeah, yes, she is. Are you in your 90s yet or not quite? Are you 90 yet? Yet? Still driving your car? You could write 10 books. Some of the stories. Have a talk to these people, these older ones. Go and talk to them. ask them, you know, what their story is. I mean, Joan, when she was only 3 years old, I think you said to me, the girls from across the road come and picked her up and took her to school. You know, when she was 3 years old, she remembers singing in the Sunday choir. You know, the Word of God has, and you've got so many stories, Joan, we haven't got time to call you up because you've got so many. But have a talk to Joan sometime. And Norm, you know, where are you, Norm's at the back there? Norm heard Billy Graham on the TV. Billy Graham. He heard his word on TV. His life changed. He was in a difficult situation then, but God took him out of that. And here he is today. Andrew, where are you, Andrew? There he is, Andrew. Long time ago, he was out, a bus goes by, and he saw the words, God is love, on the bus. He saw those words, God is love, and it got his attention. You know, it's God's word, God is love. And many years later, he was reading in the gospel, in the 1 John, and it says, you know, God is love. God's word changes our lives. Milka, she's not here today. She still remembers the word of God spoken to her by her father when she was 5 years old. That was 50 years ago. She still remembers that word he spoke to her. And Anita, are you here today, Anita? Is that you there, Anita? Hello, Anita. She's a single mother with 8 children. 8 children. A lady helped her out, took her to church. It's a long story. And we're so in a really terrible situation. But the lady took her to church. And here she is today, serving God. Maria. And I know there are many, 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 many more. But I know you ladies, a lot of you here, were involved in the Catholic Church, in, you know, your families and Croatian and Maria, you're 90, 92. Are you still driving as well? No, 93 in a couple of months. Yeah, you're amazing, Maria. And I, when I mentioned to you, you said you got your first copy of the Bible when you were 40, 45. 45 before she got her own copy in her own language. And I just mentioned that to her this morning, and it brought tears to her eyes. The Word of God is so important. And there are many more. That's just a few. Yeah. In school.
He said to Father, you know, Father, we are today, the teacher tell us that we are from Monkey. He said, yes, you are, but not me.
You are, but not me. Talk to some of you younger ones. Talk to some of the older ones. Ask them, you know, how did you hear, you know, the Word of God? This same word that became flesh is the same word which is changing us, transforming us. Pastor Luke touched on transformation last week. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, but we all with unveiled face, behold and reflecting, like a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord's Spirit. So I've finished the scriptures in John now, and I'm picking up on, for the rest of our time, on the this verse and the importance of the Word, because we're talking about the Word, and so that was the emphasis in John. You know, in the beginning was the Word became flesh, and through all of our stories, it's God's Word that changes us. We with all unveiled face, behold and reflecting like a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord Spirit. You know, we have mirrors in our bathrooms. Mainly that's where we are. We're washing our hands and it's okay to look in the mirror. I do that sometimes. I look in the mirror. And I wonder, who is that old guy looking back at me? And then I'll talk to myself. I say, Eddie, you know, smile. And he smiles back at me. Look at that. Yep, I get a smile back. And then I'll talk to myself and say, oh, you can do better. You know, you can do it. I do that sometimes. And that's okay. It's okay. Apparently, Djokovic in the quarterfinal, he lost the first two sets, and then he had a toilet break, and he looked in the mirror, and he gave himself a talking to. And he came out, and he won the next three sets. You know, it's okay. It's okay to do that. But that's not what this verse is talking about. This verse is referring to this. As we look at this, as I look at this, and the more I look at this, and I consume it, and I think about it, and I ponder on it. I mean, just from this morning, in Proverbs, I read this. A man's steps are directed by the Lord. How then can anyone understand his own way? All a man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord weighs the heart. He pursues righteousness. Now, he who pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor. Wow. Isn't that awesome? He who pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor. Who wants life? Who wants prosperity? Who wants honor? Pursue righteousness. You know, this verse doesn't say we are being transformed by improving our behavior. That was, you know, when I was running and I had that thought was, I wanted to be good. I wanted to do everything right. I wanted to be, it was what I could do. But it took a long time. The pastor did a teaching on nearly 10 weeks on righteousness. And then one day the penny dropped. And in 2 Corinthians, I think it's 2 Corinthians. In Corinthians, it says that we were made. When we were born again, we were made righteous. We were made righteous. And then we spend the rest of our life learning as we look into the Word, discovering what that means, who we are in Christ. Here, being transformed is connected to our belonging, beholding the glory of the Lord. When we behold the Lord in our fellowship with him, something wonderful happens. Transformation is taking place not because we are focused on change, but we are focused on eating. I'll explain that in a minute. Not your bacon and eggs for breakfast. I don't mean that kind of eating. Metabolically like a butterfly. You know, we've all heard. I love butterflies. It's probably my favourite insect, the butterfly. You know, if I'm buying a birthday card, I always look for a butterfly. One that's got a butterfly on it. And you know, and the let me just read this. When we, with unveiled face, are beholding and reflecting the glory of the Lord, He infuses us with the elements of what He is and what He has done. Thus we are being transformed metabolically to have His life shaped by His power with His life essence. That is, we are being transfigured, mainly by the renewing of our mind into His image. Being transformed indicates that we are in the process of transformation. This note says that when we behold the Lord, He infuses us with all He is and has done. To infuse means to fill, pervade, and soak. I might just read the next slide as well. Organic change takes place as we look into the mirror. This mirror. As we look into the Word of God, organic change takes place. The biblical meaning of transformation has nothing to do with our outward behavior or self-improvement. Simply to conform to the words we read in the Bible is like a monkey imitating the actions of a human being. What you see is mere learned behavior, not a genuine expression of a human. That's because the monkey doesn't have the life of a human. God knows that we can't meet the standard in His word on our own. Then how can we live a life that expresses God? God's way is to give us His divine life and for us to undergo an organic change by His life operating in us. You know, a caterpillar isn't wandering along the path thinking, I want to change. You know, I want to fly. He just does what comes naturally to him. He eats. He eats. And Jesus says in the gospel, He says of Himself that I am the bread of life. He is the bread of life. He is the Word. We should do what comes naturally to us and eat, consume, and ponder, and think about, and meditate on the Word of God. Have breakfast with God's Word. Have morning tea with God's Word. Have 11s with God's Word. Have lunch, afternoon tea, dinner, supper. Keep eating, consuming. So we're not with the renewing of the mind. It's not like the focus is I need to renew my mind. So I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and do the other. No, the focus is on eating, reading the word, and then just naturally, organically, we will change. We will start reflecting, if this is the Bible, we're reflecting more and more the character of Jesus, what is in the Word. We change bit by bit because our mind is being renewed to what God's Word says. And when one day we couldn't forgive our brother or our sister, or we couldn't walk in love, we will find naturally, it's not a work, we just start doing it, it becomes easy, we can forgive our brother. We can forgive our sister. We can forgive our partner. We can't forgive that person who we've had a big fight with. And it will be easy. We can be the strong one because we've changed. We've changed. It's not like, you know, it's a list or it's I have to do this. I mean, we do, but we want to because we discover who we are in Christ. We discover that we're a child of God as we read the word. We discover that we've been forgiven. And there'll be certain scriptures in there, and there already has been. I could go around the room and you could all give me a scripture that has meant something particular to you, just like it has for me. You know, I love those scriptures about, you know, in him, in whom, in Christ, I can do all things. I'm strengthened. I am strengthened because the greater one is in me. That's what I know that. I've got that word in me. I think, you know, 1 John 4:4, I won't turn there now. But, you know, greater is he that's in me. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. So how do we change? And let me say this. If there's no change, there's no word. If there's no change, there's no word. If we will read the word and meditate on it and think on it, read the Gospel of John this week. That's your homework. Read it. Note how many times you see the words word and life and light and believed. And it's believed is also 23 times in the book of Acts as well. That's a good book to read too. Can we sing that song? I want to be. What was that? I want to be more like Jesus. Can we? Sorry, I didn't prepare you for that. Do you know that one? I think it was the second last one. Why don't we finish off with who wants to reflect the love of Jesus more and more? Yeah. Can we all stand for a moment just before we start singing? But I want to sing that song to be more like him, I think. Yeah, that's it, yeah. Creating me a clean heart.
Amen.
I'm just going to ask you before we start that, I'm going to ask you a few questions. And just in your own mind, you just answer yourself. Or you can say yes. But it's in your heart. I mean, don't just say yes, you know, in your heart. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe that Jesus is God the Son? Do you believe that he was crucified on the cross? Do you believe that he was raised from the dead on the third day? Do you believe, as it says in the scriptures, that they saw him go up into heaven? Do you believe that Jesus is alive right now, today? Is it your desire to be more like Jesus? Maybe in your heart, or even quietly, you could follow me in this prayer. Father God, I've heard your word today, and faith has come. I do believe that you are the Lord Jesus Christ. You are the word that I've heard about today. the Word that became flesh. You are the Word that I read. You are the Word that has the power to change my life. And it will happen as I spend time with you reading your Word. I will change. I don't have to work at changing. Lord, I can read your Word, and your Word will change me from the inside out. I will understand who I am in Christ. Lord, I believe in you. I declare that you are the Lord, my Saviour. You are my Lord. And I truly do want to follow you, Lord. I say I'm sorry. Please forgive me for being angry and saying those words. I'm so sorry, Lord, for getting it wrong. And I know I'll never get it 100% right anyway. But I thank you, I can always come back to you and repent. And you love me anyway, regardless, because God is love. You are love, and you love me. Help me, Lord, to love my brother, to love my sister, to be someone you can use to bring restoration in where there's been a breakup. Lord, help me to make more time to pray for others. I believe this, Lord. I'm a believer. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to finish off with singing this song, From Your Heart. And if you did say that prayer in your heart for the first time today, then please come and see me after, or even during the while we're singing. And if you want prayer for anything at all, then we can pray for you. We have the elders here, and we can pray for you. So thank you, Nora.
Oh, we thank you, Lord.
Create in me a clean heart, one you desire to bring you grace. Anoint my head and stir. Like you. just to be more like you. This is our desire. Let me be more like you. Just to be more like you. Oh, let me be, let me be more like Jesus. Holy is your name, Jesus.
Today, Lord, we know that the hearing of your word is what brings faith. The hearing of your word is what has caused our life to change direction. So we thank you that we have heard your word today. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit, who says in the word that he will remind us of the word we have heard. So Holy Spirit, I see you reminding us. I know different ones in the room may have picked up on something that was specifically for them. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, as we can go away and think on that word, and I just see it bringing life, seeing situations changing, because you are El Shaddai. You're the God Almighty. You're the God that makes a way where we don't see it. You're the one that we are trusting. We put our trust and our hope in you. We lift our eyes to you, believing that you will make a way. And even though we may be in a really dark place right now, we know that we take comfort knowing that you are with us. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You're bringing us through. We see the light. We see the light. We're coming through. And we will have a wonderful testimony at the end of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.